Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold on to your hats, it's the day of a cabinet reshuffle and we couldn't be more excited. I'm joined by Anoush Shakalian and Caroline Crampton because we've had our own mini coup of the women here, sorry George, and we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not this really is a reshuffle for women. Anoush, they briefed it all weekend. How excited are you about our new glorious feminist revolution?
Well, lots of people have been writing about how it's tokenistic and it's also the timing is a bit dodgy because right now, they're not going to be making any further legislation. So these women are really there for image purposes, you could say, if you were a cynic. But I actually think that the ultimate outcome of David Cameron's decision, whether or not it's cynical, is a good thing because we need more women in the top tiers of government. Ed Miliband's been doing it. And so it's good that the Tories are responding in this way.
So let's run through where we are at the moment. So far, with the big appointment is Nicky Morgan, who was both in Treasury and Minister for Women. She's gone to Education, replacing Michael Gove, who now moves to Chief Whip. So he's the Francis Urquhart of the Tory party now. Liz Truss has also got a cabinet job. She's at DEFRA. Who else has been brought on, Caroline?
Well, we've still got Theresa Villiers and Theresa May keep their cabinet jobs, but people like Priti Patel and Amber Rudd have been moving up the junior ministerial ladder, so they'll be ministers of state. So just overall, the whole thing has sort of ticked up a notch in terms of how many women are there. But it's, as Anoush said, there's no means going to be more women round the table than men.
No, that will never happen. Yeah. But we will no longer be in a situation as we were several times during this parliament where there are more men who went to Magdalen College, Oxford, than women around the cabinet table.
Or as many people called David.
David.
For instance.
Actually, there has been a bit, because David Jones left as Welsh Secretary. So
there's been a cull of
the David.
David
Willetts went. This is what it is. It's a cull of the David. It's a bad day to be a man called David.
But we've also got something, referring to Anoush's tokenistic point, we've got things like Esther McVeigh at the Department of Work and Pensions keeps her current job, but now attends cabinet. So she doesn't become a full cabinet minister, but she will now go to the meetings, which, as you say, you could say, cynically, is just a move to get more women in that photograph of people arriving at Downing Street for cabinet without actually having to give them more responsibility.
And we know that this is what happens in the FTSE 100, so they have a target there for 30% of women on boards, which is exactly the same as the target that David Cameron set himself of 30% of ministers being women. And what they dare do is they stuff it out with non-executive directorships, so people who aren't in key decision-making roles but are on the board. And I think you'd probably be very hard-pushed to look at someone like Baroness Stowell, who's now leader of the House of Lords, and think that she's going to be banging the cabinet table and demanding that everybody bend to her will. In ideological terms, though, Anoush, where has this gone? Because we've seen people like William Hague, who is now regarded as a fairly moderate Tory, Ken Clark leave. Has the party centre of gravity shifted?
Yeah, there's been a lot of people writing about how this sort of Tory wets, although that's a bit of an archaic phrase now, have been culled from the cabinet. And I think that's mainly an age thing, because you get people like Ken Clark, Dominic Grieve, and a few of the others who do have those more moderate, perhaps more Europhile views than we have from some of the more thrusting radical Tories that are coming up from the lower ranks who are newer to Parliament. So it's kind of that irony, isn't it, that the ones who perhaps are more radical are more right-wing.
I think that's an interesting point. The two of the Big Britannia Unchained, which is a book that came out several years ago, that was very kind of explicitly neo-Thatcherite. So Liz Truss was in that, Priti Patel was in that, and both of those have been brought on. There was a great observation from our writer Tim Wigmore last night, which is that William Hague has held the same views on Europe for the last 20 years, and he's moved from being on the centre-right of the party to the centre-left. You're now in a case where being Eurosceptic used to mean, I don't want to join the Euro. It now means I want to build a massive fort at Dover and repel borders. Yeah. Is there any other appointments that have caught your eye, Caroline?
Well, I think it's interesting that we've got, in the sort of more minor positions, people like Greg Clark and Stephen Crabb, who haven't necessarily been much in the public gaze, but have now moved up into positions as Wealth Secretary and Universities Minister that will put them on television and so in the run-up to the election. And they're going to be introduced to the public as the potential, you know, should there be another Tory-led coalition or another Tory minority government, these are people who you're going to see more of, you're going to start hearing more of. So this is, in the run-up to the election, this is Cameron sort of testing the waters with people. Do they perform well on television? Can you trust them on the Andrew Marr show?
One thing I was quite surprised about was Ian Duncan Smith staying at the DWP.
Absolutely astonishing.
I mean, I had thought that if any, in the way that it was a surprise to see Gove go, you'd have thought that if you're going to clear out people who have presided over, you know, reforms which have been very controversial, then Ian Duncan Smith would be the next name on your list. We know that things like the benefit cap are very popular when people are asked, but he's wasted £500 million on universal credit, a project that all the parties supported in principle. Why? Why does Ian Duncan Smith live, Anoush? Explain it to me.
Well, I was thinking about this last night, and I feel like if they're getting rid of Michael Gove, they want to try and save face for some of their more controversial reforms that they've brought in. So Ian Duncan Smith has been doing some things that have been quite game-changing at the DWP, even if you disagree with him. But like you said, the public, it's quite popular amongst the public. And so if they got rid of him, perhaps it would be admitting defeat on another one of their sort of set-piece reform programmes.
And there is also that point that Michael Gove is less popular than the reforms. I think that's the point. And yeah. Labour have made a lot of hay out of the fact that if you say, these are the education reforms, this is what we're doing, people feel one way. If you go, these are Michael Gove's education reforms, then suddenly Labour and Lib Dem voters turn against them much more, and it will be easier for them to continue to sell those policies,
but
I think.
With universal credit and the DWP so far, the popularity of reforming the benefit system has outweighed the public's disgust at wasting money on IT projects. So I think that's the balance. Yeah. Once that tips the other way, then Ian Duncan Smith is no more, surely.
Well, I think that's a point about what they did with Ian Duncan Smith's reforms, about the very small, limited pilots that they did. So £500 million has disappeared into a pot somewhere in the Whitehall. You don't know. But if there were 100,000 people or a million people across the country who turned up one day to claim their benefits and had discovered that the well was dry because the computer system had broken, it's a very different thing. And I suppose that Michael Gove has had the misfortune that you can see his reforms in action, and therefore there's something to dislike, whereas in Duncan Smith's are largely still at this point theoretical.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you very much to Anoush and Caroline, and we'll have a regular podcast back with you on Thursday. But for the meantime, that's all from us.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.